Blog Talk Radio.
I can tell.
about joy into my soul. Great joy into my soul. So thank you, Jesus, for your joy, your great joy. I just love starting out by just praising him. So let's just go into prayer. Just, dear Father, we humble ourselves today, and we come with heavy hearts, and some of us, dear Father, are kneeling before you, dear Father, and we're not feeling our best in our bodies. Dear Father, some of us walk before you, dear Father, and we had to pull ourselves to you, Jesus, but one way or another, we're still making it here to the altar, dear Father. Just to lay down all of our grief, all of our sorrows, dear Father, whatever it is, dear Father, it may have been a wonderful day. Somebody's running to the altar with thanksgiving in their heart today. Prayers have answered today, dear Father. They have saw doors open. Manifestation has been today for them. And I just want to join in their joy wherever they're at, around the world, dear Father, around the universe. I just want to join in on their joy, and I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you, Jesus, for all of the things that you have done, dear Father, that we don't even see. We can't even feel yet. We don't even know that today is the day that is happening. I just thank you, Jesus, for just looking ahead and just planning our lives and hearing our calls. I just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the ones who will not take out time to say thank you today. Somebody was poor yesterday in their health, but they're feeling better today, and they got up and forgot to say thank you. Somebody's finances was all racked up and tore up, but they were still able to get approved for that home loan or that car loan, and I just want to say thank you. Somebody's kids, their scholarship money just got paid off some kind of way, just paid off. Hallelujah, and it's too much for them to stop and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But then there's somebody who's standing and believing. And somebody who's just taking every step, every moment of every day to say thank you. And somebody's been praying so long and praying so hard, and they're still believing. Hallelujah. Situation in front of them may be going up and down, and I just feel like it's elevating and it's back down and it's up and down, but they never waver. They still stay faithful to you, God. Oh, they still paying their tithes. They're still treating everybody right. They're still carrying a smile on their face, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, and I just want to be there and lift them up. I just want to be with them. I just pray that you just continue to be their joy and just let them know that, hold on, it's coming. What they feel, it's on the way. The blessing, the opening of those doors is on the way. And so I just shout with them right now and say, thank you, Jesus. I just praise you right now with them, dear Father, all around the universe. Thank you for all the saints that are believing. Thank you for all the mothers that are not giving up. Thank you for all the fathers that are saying, I know you may think that you don't have, I don't have rights as a father, but I'm standing here. I'm going to fight for what's mine. I thank you, dear Father, for just opening up our hearts, giving us another opportunity to hear from you. Dear Father, may I decrease so your word can increase in my life, so your word can increase in the life of each and every person that is listening, here in the chat room, here in the archives, live callers. And we just give you grace and we give you praise and we just honor you and glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We need your word all around the world. We need your word, Jesus. We depend on your word. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Special shout outs tonight to my cousin in Huntsville, Alabama, Krista and her son, Courtney. Just special shout out. And to her, both of her sons, as a matter of fact. Special shout out to her mother, Beatrice. Special shout out to her aunt, Brenda. Special shout out to the whole family there, the Bush, Turner, Harwell, Merrill family. God just bless you all, Harding family. Bless you all. I'm thinking of you, and I love you, and I look forward to doing a very special prayer session for Courtney. So, Krista, if you're listening, just get in touch with me and let me know exactly when you're available And we'll go ahead and get that going, okay? God bless you and keep you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, our scripture tonight is going to come from the book of Isaiah. Our scripture tonight is coming from the book of Isaiah. Because God is a good God, and we're just continuing on with our series, and the week is winding up, and we're just moving on. We're moving on as God just moves us on and teaches us, and I hope that you're staying with me, and you're learning from the Word, and you're allowing yourself to grow. We have to prepare our feet for the gospel shoes of peace. It's not something that just happens. So to have peace in your life, you got to get up and be prepared to have peace in your life. That means when the headaches and the heartaches come, you've already prepared for peace. So you take your dosage of those things, but they're able to kind of move past you faster when you're prepared to deal with it in peace. So Jesus glorified God. If Jesus glorified God and he is our example, we should be glorifying God, glorifying God. In Isaiah, we're going to do Isaiah 43, starting at verse 18, Isaiah 43, and that's verse 18. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, that is in the Tanakh. Isaiah 43 and 18 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Hallelujah. 43, 18 and 19. Forget about the former things, even today's former things. He said, "I'm doing a new thing in you. Don't dwell on the past. I know someone may be bringing your past before you. Keep praying, and God will put you in a situation where you won't have to worry about someone else telling the things that you used to do in your past, and you won't have to worry about hide men because they're going to break it loose and what the world's going to say, because you know what? God will put you in a predicament and in a situation, and he'll hold you so tight that you'll tell your own secrets. You'll tell it yourself. You won't be embarrassed about it. You'll use that in just what it is, a stepping stone, and it's something that you are now able to step on, and stones are made of a foundation that when you step on it, it doesn't break. It doesn't break your heart anymore when someone else is learning about the secret. This is no longer a secret. It's what you're telling the world, that where you've been, that the mess that you used to be in, and you're glorifying God by testifying of where you used to be and to look where you're at today. We can get all fancied up, and people forget sometimes that as we stand before them, that we have been somewhere in order to tell the story. God is using us for reasons, just like he wants to use you to tell your story. He wants to use me to tell my story. So let us not forget that everything that we have been through, going through, we can stand on that stuff and just stay in prayer until God eases your heart and your mind and connects you with his spirit enough where you don't feel the shame of what happened to you. What happened to you may not even been because of you. Wherever the choices that you made, that you did, whatever it was, hey, you know what? That's life. But if God has gave you another opportunity to just wake up, be a part of society, and live, regardless of where you're at, incarcerated in a home, incarcerated in a prison cell, incarcerated in your mind, in a hospital, God still is the one who can relieve all pain and give you comfort and ease to that situation that's in your mind. We need to glorify God. I'm not saying that if it's not your time to tell it, you know, tell yourself, look in the mirror and start telling it to yourself. This is what I did, and I forgive me. God has forgiven me, and I forgive me. Hallelujah. Nobody has ever brought more honor. No one has ever brought more dignity or more glory to the Father than Jesus Christ. You know, Paul the Apostle would have never changed his bloodthirsty ways had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for his lifestyle of glorifying God. We're going to get into that. I want you to understand that you must glorify God and never take anything too lightly. Your seed that you are sowing today by glorifying God may feed the next generation. So we got to stop just looking at my life. This is my life. I do what I want to do with it. Remember, this is a gift from God. This is something that he is sharing with you. This is his life that he has taken his life and poured inside of you. Now, if you cover that up with all other kind of things, you know, then you can't be surprised when the world gets so involved, you get so involved and involved that the world just kind of wraps itself around you and you don't know how to get off. You feel like you need a break. You need it to just take a time out, but the world keeps spinning and spinning and spinning because you have so many other things now that's been replaced inside of you. But it's never too late. If you got breath in your body, God says, I have a time. I'm here. I have the grace. I'm waiting patiently for you. Take time and hear the word of God. Hallelujah. To glorifying God. I see you in the chat room. God bless you, each and every one of you. Again, this is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. Someone said, I think I know you. What is your maiden name? And that is Harwell. H-A-R-W-E-L-L. So you just might know me. I think it was somebody sent from up in the Nebraska area. And yes, I most definitely raised my kids in Nebraska and was there for almost 20 years. So, yep, most definitely you just might know me, okay? God bless you all, though. So as we continue into the Word of God, we're looking again at how lives were changed by just walking and being a part of Jesus Christ. How he, as our ultimate example, comparing it to different things in different lives. You know, Paul had an unhealthy ambition to rise up in the Jewish hierarchy. And many of us do the same thing. We want to rise up in our companies, and we forget about that when we step on somebody that's a sin. And wages of sin is death. Remember, it may feel good for a moment, but we have life eternally that we're trying to live to match up to. So when we're trying to reach somewhere, make sure we're going in the right arena to get to those areas. We don't want to just step on everybody, hurt anybody's feelings, and never turn around to see how did it hurt? Can I help you? Apologize for it. Paul had one of those ambitions, and, you know, as Saul, he was so interested in rising up and the Jewish hierarchy that he would have never been quenched had it not been for Jesus Christ. His spirit never would have saw the light had it not been for Jesus Christ. And Jesus is obedient to put God's will above his own. Don't you know that brought glory to God? When he laid his hands on the sick, it glorified God. When he laid his hands on the sick, it glorified God. When he preached and when he taught the people the great truth, the good news, it glorified God. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they was even hanging him on a cross, he was still doing what? Bringing glory to God. Luke 23 and 34 tells us, he said, everything that Jesus did from his birth to his resurrection glorified God. Again, it tells us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as he's hanging on the cross, he was glorifying God. He glorified God because it was all focused on helping others to know the Father. He wanted to fulfill his purpose, which was to be an example for us, to help us keep our focus in the midst of all things that's going on. Even him on the cross, he wanted to show us we can still, we're capable of focusing on helping others around us to see the example that we're leading by still glorifying God. Jesus is our ultimate example. He's our ultimate example. What Jesus did on the cross opened the doors for all of mankind to inherit eternal life. That's even for the ones who won't even acknowledge that he was the Son of God. That's for the Muslims. That's for the Buddhists. That's for the Hindus. That's for everyone, Scientology. He laid his life. He gave his life. What he did on the cross opened the doors for all mankind to inherit eternal life. He became our substitution. He took our place. We have to look at that, what he did on the cross, personal. We have to take it personal. Now it's time for us to take our place. He took our place. Now it's time for you and I to take our place. It's time for us to do what's right. It's time for us to keep sending the message of Christ to the world. It's our time to do something now. Everything Jesus did from his birth to resurrection was to glorify God. He kept his focus on glorifying God. So now even the story, as we pray also for a young lady in Houston, and it was a situation where just road rage, and this was just a typical person like you and I, you know, just an honorable citizen just like you and I, and it was an accident. They had a fender bender. They pulled over. She thought she was just going to be able to give her license and insurance information, exchange her information with the other driver. But the guy was so irate that the accident had happened that he gets out of his car. He comes back, and before she could get out of her car, you probably hear the story on the news or on the internet, he just starts banging on her car, and apparently he's accused of hitting on her window and just yelling at her and cursing at her. Oh, trying to get her door open to get her out of the car. And before she could react, her door was unlocked. And as he pulled that door open to get her out, it was a gun. She had a gun. And she just turned around and fired. Hit him in the chest. His life is over. All because of that. Her life will never be the same. All because of that. She left home that morning. Heading to work, he was probably heading to the same destination at another employer, and that was it. It was all over. His life is over on this side. Her life will never be the same on this side. We've got to find a way to glorify God. I'm not holding any judgment either way it goes. I understand her door was open. He's trying to get her out, and just at that split of a moment, we've got to make sure that we prepare ourselves for peace. We never know what's going to happen. We've got to glorify God. Wherever she's at, whatever she's doing right now, may she continue to glorify God. Even through this whole situation, just continue to glorify God. And try anointed ministry, families, all of you that are in the chat room and listening to the broadcast, let's just make sure that we keep her in our prayers, that she keeps a strong mind, that she stay lifted up, that she has a big support behind her, under her, around her. Could have been you or I. Could have been you or I. Look at all the things that Jesus went through. All of the things that he went through. Even those that were around him, close enough to kiss him, betrayed him. Even those who said, I love you, I love you, and I love you, and I'll never deny you, denied him. Even those who said that, you know, I consider you as my brother, you are my brother's friend, even tried to chastise him. If you had have been here, then my brother wouldn't have died. Ah, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can we say thank you, Jesus? I thank you, Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example. Now is our time. And I remind you, don't look at what you do as insignificant. You see, the little ministry I have, you know, is insignificant. It's not like this one here or that one there. Don't compare yourself like that. The seeds you plant today may grow into a mighty tree. A tree whose fruit may feed the hungry long after you've passed away. This thing is not just about me. I expect to see my generations take up what I'm doing in their own way that God is using them for their calling. The seeds that I plant today, I don't want them falling on just deaf ears, on rotten soil, on hard soil. I pray that God softens up the soil for my generations to come, that they can receive whatever plant has grown from the seed that I grow right now. So don't take anything that you do as insignificant. The seed you plant today may grow up into a mighty tree. And that tree may bear fruit that will feed hungry all along the way, way after you're gone. What you say today may take root in somebody's heart. What you do today may influence someone far more than what you say. You just never know. So you might as well just live your life as if your life is a testimony to God's power. The way that you do things, the way that you say things, they may hear you say one thing and see you do another, and it turned them totally against the word of God. How are you glorifying God? We spoke the other night about we have to even watch ourselves on who we speak to when we're upset. How are we going to speak the words to them? Move back. Even with our loved ones, with our kids. Parents, you can't just run up in there when you're up at 8 or 9, even at a 7. You got to let them know we will deal with this. It's going to cool off. Every day, you'll get another opportunity to sow a seed. Every day, you will get another opportunity if God has put breath in your body. Every day, you will get another opportunity to send the right message to somebody. You said, I'm going to ask them tomorrow to forgive me for whatever happened. But you see them sitting right across from me tonight. Don't take it for granted that you're going to be here. Don't take it for granted that you are. But will God, if he breathes his breath into your nostrils and allow you to, he's given you another opportunity to send the right message to your children, to send the right message to your husband, to your spouse. It may be a word, it may be a smile, it may be a deed, or it may be a gift. It may be just overcoming an obstacle that's been placed in your way. And this time, instead of running and groaning about it as you overcome, but just overcoming this obstacle with grace, or conquering a bad habit by just leaning on Jesus. Whatever makes people think about God with reverence and gratitude promotes his glory. What you may think that is insignificant, God may see as very important. You're earning jewels for your crown in heaven, and you live for God day by day. Day by day, you should live for God. And as we glorify him, you know, we sang a song, and I will wear my golden crown. You are earning jewels for your crown in heaven. The best preparation for heaven, getting ready for heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing, getting ready for heaven. Don't get so caught up down here on what's going on. You got more world in you than you have God in you. Your life is going to reflect that. But the best preparation for heaven is the faithful execution of God's will on earth. The faithful execution of God's will on earth. That means you're just walking out faithfully. You're walking out doing the right thing. Yeah, you're going to have to turn the other cheek. Yeah, it's not going to always be easy. But you're glorifying God right here on earth. Don't get so caught up in life's businesses. Don't let what you want make you forsake what God wants. What is his will? What would he do in this situation? Hallelujah. It doesn't always take much to start something for God. And I tell people all the time about giving, giving, giving. You can't beat God's giving. Now, this is not money. I'm not talking about just monetary thing. It's not just money. But your time to somebody. Giving a good word. You can't beat God's giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't take anything that you do as significant. What would he do in this situation? And you know the bracelets and what would Jesus do? And it was just a big thing at a time. And I'm not for sure if the world actually looked at it and made those decisions in their mind before they chose their next behavior act. But they was into wearing the bracelets and the necklace and everything. What would Jesus do? The scarves. And so we can't just let that be a fad, that it fades into our lives and then out of our lives. It's in style and then it's out of style and it's old-timey and then it's brand new and it's in and it's out. It's got to be a constant part of us. What would Jesus do? We can't get caught up in how life is here in the world functions. Today is okay, tomorrow is not. What was wrong is not right. That's not the way Jesus did live for an example for us. What's right is right. If it was right back then, it's right now. Same God then, same God now. Hallelujah. So we have to remember, what is his will? What would he do in this situation? And if you're staying in your word constantly, you don't have to really worry about the fact that it's almost sneaks up on you. If you're in your word daily and that word is down inside of you, then you're prepared for it. You're prepared to do a little something more. You're prepared to when something runs up on you. You have the word inside of you. And how many of us still got something else down off inside of you? And then when something happens, you just go off before you even think of the word. Because it's more of the world off in there than it is the word. You got to look at God. Look at that situation. Look at that temptation, and then look at God. And you've got to be able to do this in a quick time frame. Things happen. You've got to be able to make your decision, temptation or God. Go off or go to God. Honor God or honor the world. The word or the world. You've got to be able to make these choices. So if you're meditating on the word night and day and night, and you're trying to practice living this, because opportunities are going to come to make sure that you believe what you say you believe. Things that they want, because they will. Not if, but when. And then when things come up, if you've got the word inside of you, it's much more easier for you to rely on that word. How many times, though, you hear people or you see them? It was a game show. A blackout, and you may have saw it, and I'm not sure if it comes on anymore, but it was a preacher on there, and he was going into all, you know, everything is all dark, and you got to try to find the different places that you're going and locate, you know, and identify these different objects, and some of them was really some gross objects, but again, you're in pitch black dark, you know, something I wouldn't be able to do probably, and he, under pressure, just started to, boom, let some stuff out of his mouth. And the bundles of the heart, there it comes from your mouth. And he kept saying, oh, I hope this, you know, that you all bleep this out. Oh, I hope that you all cut this part out. They said, sure we will. Sure we will. Isn't that just like the enemy? Sure we will. Sure I'll cover up that sin that you did. Sure you can get away with it this time. Sure no one will know that it was you. Sure, it'll just go over and over and over. Sure, we'll cover that up. And then he encourages you. Go ahead and do it again. Nobody found out about what you did the first time. Why not go ahead and do it again? And then it goes over and over, and he builds up this stack of sins that you're doing. And you're up so high that now the world starts to look at you, and they marvel at you, and they're just glorifying you. And you're riding high, and you're living big. And you know you're just like, wow, thank you, Jesus. And you don't realize, if you look down under your feet, if you take a moment to see why you elevated so high, you see it's because of all of your sins that you're standing on. And just at the moment that you look and see that, well, here's what's really happening to me, that's when the devil exposes all of your sins to the world to see. He opens it all up. And then everybody is all upset. Everybody's disappointed. No glorifying to God any longer. People lose faith in the word. They lose faith in you. They lose faith in God. That's why you should put your hope and your faith in God. Not in man. Not in man. I am so grateful. Just like anybody else, as I get different things and through email, I enjoy, really, really enjoy reading the different stuff that you all send me, the prayer requests. And of course, I enjoy it when you tell me just how God has blessed you through the show. I just really love seeing God do what he do. But I'm also quick, although it feels good that, you know, it's my Blog Talk Radio show that God has provided me with. He has called me to be a minister and give the good news, and to know that good news in a time and day when people say there is no good news, that good news is still shining through somebody's darkness and showing them the pathway of how to get out of that depression, showing them a pathway of how to get out of that loneliness, that grief, to mourn and keep passing on, to get out of that abusive relationship. It gives my heart joy to see what God is doing. But on the other hand, I do have sometimes people who want to spend the whole time gratifying me, who want to spend the whole time saying they wish they could be around me. And I stop very easily to tell anybody, and you'll hear me many times on my broadcast, I am just like you. I'm just a child of God. I know what my purpose is in life. And that is to spread the good news. That is to lift you up when you're down. And that is to stand beside you, walk with you, and pray with you. Hallelujah. But I'm not a God. I sin. I have fought. I fall down. I get back up. I get scrapes on my knees as I'm getting back up. I get lonely. I'm just like you. But I know we like something that we can touch. I know we like something that we can see. But it's the word of God. He said, if you taste and see that the word is good, the Lord is good, you got to dive yourself into it. Instead of diving yourself into the preacher, the leader, the evangelist, the teacher, listen and learn from the teacher. But know that that teacher is just like you. Know that that teacher has just been used by God, that this is God's word, delivered from through that teacher to you, to manifest you. That's where you get that warmth from in your heart. That's where you get that glow from. So don't get it twisted, though, that glow is coming from Evangelist Vaughn. That glow is coming from Jesus Christ. I'm glowing myself. He blows my mind. Hallelujah. Just to give a word to me, it blows my mind. Hallelujah. Just needed to say that. We have a few more minutes left, but in our closing, we're going to close this series down tonight. So let's move on, shall we? All right, hallelujah. It doesn't always take much to start something for God. It just takes the first step of obedience, then the next step, and then the next step, day by day, step by step. What you do may seem very small, yet out of your obedience, a work may grow that bless the world. Start by just telling the word to your neighbor. Start by that friend, just telling them that Jesus loves them. Start just right there. Bring somebody to the Lord. Let them know in the midst of what you are, what you're doing, you are a child of God, and God loves you. Start where you're at. Your work of obedience may grow that blessing, and that blessing may bless the entire world. you may end up influencing someone who takes your seed to another level. You may have planted a tree, but someone may come behind you and use those seeds to plant an orchard. Your kids, it may be someone you don't even know. You may only know your influence when you get to heaven. Say, whoa, so when I left earth, you took up and did what? I often ask myself, am I a one-generation ministry? Will this work glorify God after I'm gone? Will my kids continue to go on carrying the word in their mouth? Will they teach their kids the word of God? Will my seed still glorify? Will my great-great-grandkids be able to look back and say, great-great-grandma was a preaching woman, great-great-grandmother was a teacher, great-great-grandmother lived by the word of God? Hallelujah. I believe that it will. I believe some of the seed that I'm carrying on now is from my grandfather, Daddy William. I believe that that seed that he prayed, a praying man, a praying warrior, some of that seed is right here in me right now today. Hallelujah. I believe that the seeds that I'm sowing today will grow into a mighty tree. I believe that they will feed the hungry long after I've passed away. I believe. I believe that what God has for me is for me. And I believe if I just continue to do God's will, that he will take what he has for me. And when I die, it won't be in the grave with me. He will allow it to stay here and flourish in somebody else's hands, in somebody else's mouth, through someone else's heart. Will you glorify Jesus today? That the seed that you're sowing may glorify Jesus forever, even after you're gone. Hallelujah. I want to glorify the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart. We need to be cleansed, people. Repent of my sins. You have to repent of your sins. Make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough for dying for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you in the name of Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, you are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament tells us that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. And that may take a little bit of getting used to. But I'm here for you. I want to be that prayer warrior for you. This ministry is here to pray with you, to make you understand that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Friends, you have a brand new slate with God right now. Your old slate has been wiped clean. The oldness can be destroyed. Your slate is clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and love for you. So please, let me know what it is this ministry can do to help you, assist you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. The ministry is Tri-Anointed Ministries. And we're here. You can leave a message here in the blog talk. Again, you can send an email. After we exchange salutations, if you would like to have my number so we can talk, we can exchange numbers, whatever it is that you need and the way that the ministry can assist you, I ask that you don't hesitate at all. Day or night, if you need prayer, we're here for you. Well, God bless you, and remember, Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. So God bless you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. I would never see you, maybe, but I love you. So what's most important is God loves you more. God loves you more. Amazing. Go and sin no more.
Choices I've made. still remains. And so I will.